This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, open us up to have more grateful hearts, so that we will strive not so much to do great things with little love, but to do little things with great love. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Well, I have bad news for you and good news. The bad news is, there are about 20 sermons I would like to preach on this text. The good news is you only have to listen to one of them. This is an incredibly rich gospel. I would encourage you to go home and reflect upon it even more than we do here today, because there's so much richness in it. But I think above all, the theme, as I was reflecting on this and in our life together, that hits me is that the call is for us to have that attitude of gratitude that we've talked about so many times. This is an alternate gospel for Thanksgiving, and I understand that our Canadian brothers and sisters, this is their Thanksgiving season. So if you're from Canada, happy Thanksgiving. Eh? But it's about having gratitude. We have these front pews at our church on the gospel side that once in a while the altar guild has to put the reserve signs on them. And they're reserved for the family and friends, loved ones of a person who has died. And the time comes for all of us when those pews are reserved for us. We have difficult losses that we experience. There are other times when, either literally or metaphorically, we sit in the back pews of the church because of something we are going through, because we feel unlovable or unworthy or in so much suffering or so much pain that we don't feel like we can be a part of the community as usual. Those pews are all reserved for us at some time or another, for all of us as well. We all go through it. And this gospel, I think, gives the answer to us in terms of what is going to pull us through those times. And it is gratitude. We don't do it at this service with the unplugged, but normally at church, we get to the point of the Eucharist and we have that dialogue. The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us lift up our hearts to the Lord. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And we all respond, it is right to give God thanks and praise. I want you to reflect and just let that sink in today. The utter significance of saying that. It is right to give to God thanks and praise. Not just when my dreams are coming true, not just on good days when everything's going great, but just as well when I'm wandering in the desert, when I'm sitting in the reserved pews because I just lost somebody who is dear to me, when I'm sitting either symbolically or literally in the back pew because there is so much pain and suffering in my life, I just can't handle it. It is the gratitude that will pull us through. Now, if you happen to be hurting today, I know this is hitting you pretty hard. If you're finding things going well right now, it's pretty easy to be thankful and grateful when our lives go well. But if you're hurting, it can feel like a punch in the chest. And you might be thinking, Father Marty, are you crazy? Do you have any idea the pain I'm going through? Do you have any idea the suffering? Do you have any idea how mad and angry I am about what's happening to me? And maybe justifiably so. But it doesn't change the point. The gratitude that we have in our lives is that which will enable us to pull through the difficult times. There's always a reason to say thank you. Somewhere, no matter what losses we experience, no matter how terrifying or terrible or difficult they are, there's always something that God can use out of that to create a gift. There's always a reason to say thank you. And this is not in any way to say that God gives us suffering because he likes us to suffer. That's not it at all. But God can use those occasions to bring something to us that we would have never otherwise experienced. You remember St. Paul? He wrote the Philippians letter and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He goes on and he says, give thanks to God in all things. He writes those lines when he's in prison. He makes the same point that this attitude of gratitude is so crucial for us. This gospel that we hear, Jesus amplifies the point to the nth degree. He heals, he cures 10. Only one that we know about is truly healed. He's the only one who came back to say thank you. Now, these other 9 always get a bad rap, but I think we need to clear the air a bit that they were just doing what Jesus told them to do. He told them, go show yourselves to the priests, and that's what they were doing. And there was quite a process that you would have to go through for you to be considered cleansed from leprosy. And it's in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 14. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but just to give you an idea of what they would have had to do, it says this: the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the ritual for the leprous person at the time of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall make an examination. If the disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command that 2 living clean birds and cedar wood and crimson yard and hyssop be brought for the one who is to be cleansed. The priest shall command that one of the birds be slaughtered over fresh water in an earthen vessel. He shall take the living bird with the cedar wood and the crimson yard and the hyssop and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was slaughtered over the fresh water. He shall sprinkle it 7 times upon the one who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean, and he shall let the living bird go into the open field. The one who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shall shave off all his hair, bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp, but shall live outside his tent 7 days. Any questions? Would you like me to go on? Because that's only step 1. It was a process you had to go through. For most ritual things that you need to be purified or cleansed, it only took 1 day to be admitted back. This took a while. So they were doing what they were supposed to do. Go show yourselves to the priest, and everything else goes with it. But the point is this: the fact that Jesus singles out the one who did come back and questions why the other 9 didn't gives us the exact thing that we're looking at today, and that is this: gratitude trumps everything. No matter what rules you're trying to obey or follow, gratitude comes first. And so that is the call to the disciples who experienced this. It is a call to us as well. If we can't be grateful at all times, at all places, in all things, we need to grow into it. And so when you get up in the morning, you put your feet down from the bed onto the floor and you say, thank you, God. You take a breath and you say, thank you, God, I can breathe. You say, thank you, God, because within the last 24 hours, I probably had a decent meal and more than half of the world's population had nothing to eat yesterday. I have a roof over my head, and 30 to 40% of the world's population don't. I came to church today because I am blessed to have a vehicle, or I'm blessed to have somebody in my life who cares enough who brought me here today. I have friends, I have somebody, at least one person, maybe many, who love me for who I am when so many in this world walk friendless. And it begins this attitude to transform us when we start to see the graces and the blessings that God has poured into our lives. It transforms us so that when we get to those difficult times, we can see beyond. And even in those difficult times, when we're in the front or the back pew, God can bring gifts that we could have never imagined out of that. I know many of your stories, and I know the struggles and difficulties that God's brought you through and brought you blessings that you would have never thought possible through that. I can tell you in my own life, 12 years, all my life, from the age of 13 to 26, I studied because I knew I was called to be a Roman Catholic priest. Well, when that all fell apart and I lost my denomination, that was devastating. But I wouldn't be here today had that not happened. I was betrayed by most of my friends. That was painful, but I wouldn't be here today with a wife who loves me, with a family whom I love, with a church that I would die for. That would not be the case had that not happened. In my own life, when I was called to sit in that pew that was reserved for me, was when my best friend, my father, died. But I can tell you, 20 years later, he's more present to me now than ever. Gifts that God can give to us. And so when my feet hit the ground in the morning, no matter how tired I am, I mean, my prayer is always this now: God, thank you. Another day. And I have no idea what adventure you got in store for me today, but bring it on, because I know in some way it is going to be a blessing. This is what this attitude of gratitude is about for us. Only one came back, but he was not only cured, he was healed. I ran across these lines that I'd like to sort of move towards a conclusion with here. This was written by a Salvation Army preacher in the last century. This is what he writes, talking about Jesus. Jesus was born in another man's stable, buried in another man's grave. His first pillow was straw. His last was a crown of thorns. His first resting place was somebody else's manger, and his last was somebody else's cross. And he did it all for you and me. Have you ever thanked him for that? You know, a couple weeks ago, before I went away to school, I challenged this congregation, the next time you go out to a restaurant, to tell the waiter or waitress, we're going to offer a prayer, and invite them to say something to you that you wanted, that they wanted to have you ask God's blessings for in their life. I'm sure you remember that, because not many of us did it. But I think I jumped to the honors course with us all, and we should have started with the elementary school, because it begins with this keener awareness of the blessings that we have in our own lives. And I think if we had a keener awareness of that, we might be more willing to do things like that. So let's go back to chapter one, to the elementary school. Let's work on a keener awareness of the blessings we have. More of an attitude of gratitude. I'm going to give you homework again, but it's easier. You'll look in the bulletin and you will see on the last page our prayer list. Now, somebody gets a cold and we fill out a sheet, pray for so-and-so, they got a cold. Somebody gets cancer and we're so willing to ask for stuff. But we're not so good about those what are called miracles of healing, which really is just thankfulness for a blessing in my life. It's the smallest column on our prayer list. Something's wrong. What I challenge us to do is this. I want us, by Thanksgiving time, to have two full pages of our miracles of healing. The thanksgivings for the blessings that are happening in our own lives. You don't have to do it today, but go home and pray about it. Tear off one of those sheets and put it in the collection plate or send it into the church. Doesn't have to have your name on it. But I think if we specifically are working more on our keener awareness of that, this attitude of gratitude will help us to be hearing Jesus' voice just like he spoke to the one who came back. Your faith, your gratitude has saved you. Let's take that to our prayer.